Well, you're blessed with an extra lesson today. I'm standing in the back this morning, and Matt came back there and said, "Hey, the two guys that always take care of the kids' dollars are not here this morning. Should we take care of that?" I said, "Oh, yes, we should." And it got me thinking, because a cynical adult, hence maybe raising cynical children, might think, "Well, it's not really costing the kids anything. There's no sacrifice because they're being given the dollar and then they're just giving the dollar away." And I think it's a fantastic lesson that every single one of us adults need to see and hear, because we're given the dollar by God. It just gets to sit in our bank account for a while, and we get to put our little fist around it and hold on to it tighter and not be so freely to give. Freely we have received, freely we give. It's the best lesson we could see. So kids, a dollar, when you're big, you got your own job, making your own money, the Lord provides it. He gives it, we give it. He's a giver, we get to be givers. That's why we do it, so we can all learn. So, there's your lesson. If anyone wants to, Jerry's like, "I just got sat down." All right. Just got sat down. That's a freebie. That's if you missed Wednesday's lesson. I had to get one in there. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get into the Word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for freely giving us gifts. Lord, you take such good care of us. You love us, and you provide for us, and you just, you give us the clothes that we're wearing and the food that we eat and the means by which to get here and the place that we have together. And you have given us, Father, salvation in your Son. And you have given us, brothers and sisters in Christ, an eternal family. Lord, we love you so much. And we are grateful for the gifts that you give. And I pray today, Lord, as we take a look at these things, that you will fill our heart with the portion that we have received. And let us be satisfied. And let us grow closer to you in that contentment. Father, we've got some of our number that are sick today, and I ask your blessings of healing upon them. I pray that you give them what they need, that you strengthen their bodies. And whether they're at home or whether they're here in our number, Father, I ask that you strengthen our souls. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us every day your purpose and your renewal. Give us a clean heart and a new heart. Father, forgive us because so many things in our life just attach themselves to you. They cling to us and they make our steps seem heavy. But Father, we hand these things at the foot of Jesus. We give them to you to carry, and we trust that our burdens are safely in your hands so that we can live free. Blessed be your name. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Back in Genesis chapter 2, God makes man, and he puts him in the garden to work. He's given him food. He's given him purpose. But he does something, and a lot of people look at it and go, God's a dirty trickster. He kept something out of his hands. If he had just not made that tree and kept it out of his reach, then we wouldn't be in the mess that we were in. It reads like this in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now, church, we're going to see today how that other tree that's keeping you and I from actively pursuing Christ every single day, that other tree is still tripping us up. But we don't have to take and reach out and grab that other tree. What God has done for Adam, and of course for Eve with him, he has said, I have given you your portion. I haven't given you everything. See that over there? That's not yours. I have given you your portion. What you need, what you were supposed to have, and that's how far you are to live. There has to be, and again, you can give it different words. You can say, oh, well, God has put barriers around sins, or he has put, you know, a hedge around us to protect us. But what we're going to look at today is that God has given each and every single one of us a portion. And you and I are not actively pursuing Christ every single day because we are not living with contentment with the portion that God has given us. It's hurting us. It's preventing us from being where he is. We sing it. I just want to be where you are. And then other things come up outside of our portion and we say, well, I want to be where Jesus is, but then there's that. I don't want to worship from afar. I want to feel and I want to know and I want to walk with him and just be close with him every step of the way, but there's some of this. This lesson in Genesis 3 is God saying, I have given you your portion, and you need to learn how to be content with that. And that's tough for us, right? I mean, it starts young. It starts young. When your kids were little, if it wasn't mine, it was more, right? You remember those meals where you go, da-da-da-da-da-da, and they just hold the plate back out to you? In fact, oh, come on now. We make a celebration out of it. We have our kids' first party, and there's the birthday cake, and then there's the kids' cake. Oh, come on now. We don't just cut them a piece and say, there's your cake. Have your own cake. Right? Go to town. And church, when we grow up, we don't get any better. You and I are not satisfied with our portion, are we? We got to have more. We want more. We're not satisfied. Do you ever complain that leftovers wasn't a steak? You ever eaten a meal and thought, this PB&J is just not as good as the stew you made last week? Uh-huh. I know. We're out? How can we be out? Look, it's every aspect of our life. I know. I gotta work 30 more minutes. I gotta put in one more hour this week. My thumb's not bleeding yet, so I'm just gonna scroll a little bit longer. My Pinterest board is only 5 gigs full, and it can hold some more hopes and dreams. We decorated this part, so now let's move on to... You and I struggle with this exact same problem. God has given each of us a portion. He has given us what we need and everything that is good. And you and I are still chasing that other tree. You and I are still looking away from Christ and saying, I need that. I'm not satisfied with what's put in front of me. And just as kids do it, we do it as adults too. We all struggle with this, and it's all different. Some of us, we do it with money. Some of us, we do it with food. Some of us, we do it with drugs. Some of us, we do it with entertainment. Some of us, we do it with shopping, social media, and whatever your thing is, whatever you were chasing, actively pursuing instead of Christ. And it's hurting you, and it's preventing you from being what God has intended you to be. And it started way back in Genesis. It's the same story. It's the same story. And again, Satan doesn't have to be that good because you and I are that weak. He doesn't have to improve his tactics. He just gets us. But what did God tell Adam would happen when he went beyond his portion? Say it louder. You will die. Now that's the part of the story you and I need to take seriously. When you and I are not satisfied with the portion that God provides, what is on the other side? Death. I have to take that seriously. That's kind of a big deal. God says, I'm providing for you. And if that is not enough, on the other side of that is death. Okay, you have my attention. I better, if I know anything about God, or I want to be faithful to God, or I want to follow God, or I just want to be where God is, I better take seriously when he says, this action, this leads to death. Now again, a lot of times, and in a lot of places, a lot of people will just read that and say, oh, well, yeah, well, if you break God's rule, you'll die. Well, I want us to see it in this from this other angle. And I think Scripture is going to show us, this is a pretty healthy angle to see it from, is that God has given us a portion. And if we are not satisfied with that portion, bad things are going to happen. All right? Let's turn over to Psalm 16. Josh read for us in Psalm 16. And David had a great idea about this and just a wonderful understanding. Psalm 16, let me get there. Psalm 16. Psalm 16. If you're an underliner, 4 and 5. 4 and 5 are important. Important. He starts with a warning in verse 4. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. In other words, if you are chasing something besides God, you're going to end up in a sad place. It's not worth it. It doesn't end well. It doesn't satisfy. It does not fulfill. When you and I are not actively pursuing Christ, this goal that we have set for the year, when we are not actively pursuing Jesus Christ, we are going to be pursuing something else. And David reminds us here in verse 4 of Psalm 16, if you are actively pursuing anything besides God, you are going to end up sad. You're going to end up empty. You may feel a little excited for a minute. And again, the vices that we chase and the other things that we look for make us, you know, happy or tingle for a minute. But it doesn't last. You know how I know it doesn't last? Because you always want more. Whatever it is we're chasing, we want more. We absolutely want more. If it's good, fantastic. I enjoyed it. Let's have more of it. Even if it's not good. Well, yeah, but it was good for a second, so I'm just going to chase more of it. And David said that leads to a bad way. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. So, what's his conclusion in the next verse? Verse 5. This is our key right here. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. David says, because he knew exactly what God was trying to teach Adam and Eve. I've given you a portion, but you have to choose to be satisfied with what I have given you. That's why it's called a chosen portion. Every single one of us has a portion from God. God has given me some things that he has not given you. God has given you some things he's not given them. Now, we all have the same salvation. We all have the same Lord and Savior. But we have different portions. Now, all of us experience a portion of faith and Christianity, and outside of that, sin, we don't need to be in. And that's the same for all of us. But hasn't the Lord blessed us differently? Some of you have more kids than I. The Lord has seen fit to give Ben a bigger row than Michael. That's his portion. Okay? So I'm not talking about sin, okay? We all have this portion that he's given us, but God's given Ben a different portion than he's given me. Right? Okay. So, again, good or bad, whatever. The Lord has seen fit to give my family a portion of cancer. Has anyone on your row and your family not received a portion of cancer? Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is my portion. This is what you have given me. This is what you have allowed me to have, to live, to experience, to enjoy, to praise your name, to work through and trust you more. Blessed be your name. This is my portion. When do we get in trouble? Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. This is so bad. This is so awful. How could this happen to me? This is so terrible. Nothing has ever happened to anybody else as bad as this happened to me. Woe is me. You think you stepped over something? Yeah, when we do that, we stepped over something. We stepped out of our portion and we said, God, you don't know best and you did not give me what I want, what I love, or what I deserve. You don't know best. I can't trust you. Because I'm not happy with my portion. Now that's a very extreme example, right? But extreme examples help you and I look honestly at ourselves with our little pity examples. Our horrible examples. Ugh. This old car. Can't believe how bad it's acting. Did this funny thing the whole way to church. Did it get you to church? This morning it did. Could it be newer and fancier and smell better and be cleaner and prettier and have more bells and whistles? It could, but don't you have a portion? We do, don't we? And David says, if we're going to figure this out, if we are going to pursue God and enjoy what he has, the Lord is my chosen portion. He's my cup. He holds my lot. The lines have fallen for me, in verse 6, in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance, a portion, an inheritance. This is what God has seen fit to give you. Enjoy it. Be thankful for it. Right? Be thankful for it. Now, he tells us how to do this in verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Now, just as I choose my portion, I choose to say, I'm going to accept what God has given me, and I'm going to be satisfied. I'm going to be content with what I have. Just as I choose to put myself in that position of trust, I am also, and this is active, I have to do this, I have to set the Lord in front of me always. I can't set the Lord over to the side. I can't just make the Lord one of my accessories or just one of my things. I have to set him right in front of me always so that he is with me. He's always there. He's always available. But just like Adam and Eve had to choose to stay away from that tree, you and I have to choose to stay near to God every step of the way. We have to set him in front of us. He's there. But how many times and how many days and how many situations and experiences in our life where we just say, I think I'm going to go my own way today. I think I'm going to try it without him today. I think I'm going to do something different. When we choose the Lord, when we choose the Lord, and again, Adam had a choice, David had a choice. When you and I choose to set the Lord before us, you know what happens? All those other things in our life lessen. They become less. We exalt him, and those other things become less. Well, I'm really struggling with this. Or you know what? I really recognize that this is something in my life that's making me not content with what the Lord has given me. I want more. I need extra. I'm just chasing something else. You got to set the Lord right in front of you. And that has to be your focus. And when you do that, those other things become what they truly are. Less. they become less. Jesus draws from this in Luke chapter 10. And you know this story, but he is pulling it directly from Psalm 16. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Hey, this is a story that we usually hear about it. Luke 10:38, now when they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." Martha, Mary, you both made a choice today. You chose to be upset and anxious and worried about a bunch of things. And Jesus says only one thing is necessary. Your sister chose that one thing. Do not ask me to remove the good portion that she has chosen for herself. I won't do it. I won't do it. You ever been around someone that just got upset at you because you were not as upset at them as them? You ever been around, you know, people like that? That they're just like, bzzz, I mean, they're just electric. They're just redlining all the time. Everything is a high stress, it's all just like that. And your calm spirit upsets them. They don't know what to do with that. You should be upset. I'm upset. And if I'm upset, it is worth being upset about. And if I'm upset and it's big enough to be upset about and you're not upset, something's wrong with you. You should be as equally as upset as I am. Get upset with me. And some people are like that. I need everyone as high stress as me, because then I'll feel justified in me being high stress. And Jesus says, she chooses the good portion. She chose the portion. And I'm not taking that away from her. I'm not taking that away from her. All right. So here's a good question. Because as we are actively pursuing Christ, and as we are setting Christ in front of us, as we are choosing the good portion that God wants for us to enjoy, the question comes up, how do I do this? How do I do this on a regular basis, right? Because you know as well as I do, I experienced that this week. I'm praying, I'm saying, "Lord, I want to actively pursue you," and then I get caught up in other stuff. And I got distracted, and I got kind of taken off. And then I had 2 days in a row, I think, where it was nothing but Jesus. And everything else just went, I went, "Okay, Lord, what is that? What's the difference? Because I want to do that more often. I know what that feels like. I know what the other tree tastes like. I want this. I want this more often. I want that to be my regular. I want my bad days to become less and less, fewer and farther between. I want my faithful days to be consistent. I want to be walking with you and living with you and enjoying the portion that you have for me." So how do I do that? Well, here's a couple things we can do. Let's turn back to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Psalm 90, go down to verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love." If you're highlighting verse 14, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. Now, is a fantastic key of how you and I can pursue Christ, actively pursue Him, and live within the portion that He's given us. What does He say to do? He says, in the morning, I get up and I am grateful for what God has already given me. And then those last two verses, what does He say? He says, get to work with your hands, right? Here's the problem. You and I, we go to work. Now, work's not the problem. But what we do is we go to work. And whatever our work is, I need to do more work. Right? There's not enough time in the day. I got to do more for that kid. I got to sell more. I have to produce more. I have to help more. I got to close more cases. Like, whatever your work is, I got to get to that point, and then I can be satisfied with my work. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, get up in the morning and look at God and say, God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for what you have given me. I am going to be satisfied with what you provide today. Because it's a gift from you. Now I can get ready and go to work. Church, if you're going to actively pursue Christ, that has to be the decision before you get wherever it is you're going. And that's what He's saying. Satisfy, verse 14, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Start every day with how much the Lord loves you. Okay? That's it. That's the key that we get from this verse. I get up and I start the day and I say, thank you, Lord, because you love me so much. Thank you. Thank you for loving me today. Thank you for providing for me today. Thank you for taking care of me today. You woke me up. I woke up. I'm here. I'm still here. And I'm looking forward to whatever you provide. Now I can go to work because I'm already satisfied. Now I can go do the good I'm supposed to do in the world because I'm already satisfied because it is God who provides for me. See how that is so different than you and I going, gotta go to work. Gotta go to work. You know, what do I do at work? Complain. Work as little as possible and then, I don't make enough. We chuckle because it's very normal, but it can't be for us. I work with enough people that face it that way. I'm sure you do too. The trick is not becoming one of them. So you start the day with, Lord, you have provided, you have given. I am full, and I am going to praise you and celebrate everything you've done for me. Now I can go to work. So start the day by putting Him right in front of you. The next one. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19, if you're taking notes. Apostle Paul writes to the church, and again, he's writing to the church and writing to some Christians that have actually been involved in supporting his ministry, and they financially provided to help him preach the gospel. But he says in verse 19, my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God supplies everything you need through the riches of His glory. What did God tell Adam would happen if he went past his portion? Did Adam trust that God was telling the truth? He did not. He thought his loving Creator, who had breathed life into dirt to make him exist, did not know as well as the serpent. And he listened to the serpent, and the serpent said, God's lying to you. You can't trust the portion He gives you. There's something better out there. God knows what a good thing that is right over there. Go get it. Go get it. It's yours. Just put your hands on it. Look, it's beautiful. It's delicious. Go get it. Because God knows God knows you'll be competition for him as soon as you do. Paul here says, hey, look, it's God who provides every good gift that we have. If it's your portion, enjoy it. If it's not your portion, then don't. It's not for you. It's not for you. And I know, that's a tough thing. Contentment is difficult, right? Just taking what God has given me today and saying, wow, thank you. I'm going to enjoy it. Because some days are better than others, right? Some days is peanut butter and jelly. And some days is steak. I had a steak this week. I had a cold sandwich this week. Really enjoyed the steak more. But I was thankful for the cold sandwich. And whatever it is, that's my portion. That's on my plate. That's what I have. And so Paul says, God supplies every need of yours. So what do? We choose to accept what the Lord provides. So much of our energy is focused on chasing the thing or the other instead of actively pursuing Christ. One more. Turn to Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews because I want us to be successful in our pursuit of Christ. I want our life experience right now to be as close to Him as we possibly can. And church, that's going to require you and I to do some of these things that put God front and center in our lives. We allow just the sin and every entanglement that clings so closely, we allow it just to wrap us all up and we won't be honest with ourselves. The things that we're chasing that are not God, we just, that's just us. The sin that you and I refuse to repent for, that's just me. The bad thing that God did not give me, or even the good thing that God did not give me, but I'm just sitting here going, I'll be happy when I have that. No, Paul says, God gives you all your good gifts. Be satisfied. Be satisfied. That's how you pursue Christ. You're not going to grow in your faith and trust God if you're not trusting God. Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be content with what you have. Now, did that verse say that you will never have more or less any day in the future? No, it did not. Contentment happens when? When does contentment happen? What? Now! Now! Hey, anybody think about taxes yet? That's fair, right? I'm already thinking about taxes. They got me. It's January, I'm thinking about April. You ever had a year that was higher than the previous year? Oh, you ever had a year that was lower than the previous year? Oh, that's the worst. Yeah, those are, because, our lives, our grand plan is just, that's our trajectory. And sometimes our life goes, and we get taken down a notch. Those are not fun, right? So the Bible doesn't say, You're never going to have more. That's not what it says. It says be content with what you have. Because God is not going to leave you. Do I have more now than 30 years ago? Probably. I probably do. Content now. Content then. Content tomorrow. Be content. If the Lord has seen fit to give you what you have today, that's what you're supposed to have. Be content. Be content. So if I started the day by focusing on Him and then I get to work, at the end of the day I say, hey, this is what the Lord gave me. I'm content. This is what He saw fit that I need. It's all from Him. I'm good. I'm content. God is with us. He will not leave us. His presence keeps us from unhealthy desires. So church, here it is. To actively pursue Christ this week. Choose the portion that He has for you. It's your choice. He has given you a portion. You can be content with it and keep working hard. Or you can be a malcontent and be miserable. One is life, unfortunately. One is death. So, do we want to be filled with joy or filled with sorrow? How do you want to live this week? It's your choice. It's your choice. We all have the same opportunity. We like to measure portions, but that's not it. God has given me my portion. Will I accept that portion as a gift from His hand and be content with what He has provided me and continue to seek Him and search for Him and work for Him? Or will I just look around and just start following different gods and saying, well, I want some more of that, or I need a better that, or I need more time with that? The choice is ours. The choice is ours. God loves us so much, He's given us the choice. He's an amazing God. He's an amazing God. So, God has given you today the choice. If you are not a Christian, God has given you the choice to accept the life of Jesus Christ for your sins. He's given you the choice. And if you have not made that choice, if you are not a Christian, God offers it. God offers it, all the good. Now, church, if we're Christians and we are actively pursuing Christ, that is our goal, that is our aim, some things in our life probably need to be cleaned up. And some things can probably be better and healthier, cleaner, and more faithful. So let's do those things that make that possible. Get up tomorrow morning and you set God right in front of you. And when that thing creeps in, nope, God's right here. I can't let it creep in. Because it's going to creep in. It usually takes about 5 minutes into your drive to work. And it starts to creep. And we can focus on it and take our eyes off God. Or we can say, nope, not today, Satan. Today I'm focusing on God. Today I'm chasing Him. Today I want to truly be where He is. Because He said He'd be there, but I have to choose it. I have to choose to be content with what He provides. I have to choose the portion that He has given me. And if you and I choose to accept the portion that God has provided us, oh boy, we're going to be so much happier. We're going to be so much happier. We're going to get so much more done. Our lives are going to be so much closer to Him. And that's what I want for you. So I hope you can put some of these things in practice. If you need to respond for anything today, or we can lift you up in prayer, we are happy to do it. Or you just need to see a very cool, bright unicorn set, come forward and we'll take a look.